1 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all did eat the same spiritual meat and all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. For all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we study down through this and finish this section tonight, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to kind of get right into it because I want to finish this tonight and then get down to verse number 15, Lord willing. But let me just review. There are four sins that are highlighted in this portion of Scripture. And again, we've reviewed this several times, but at the end of chapter 9, verse 27, we're warned about being a castaway. And then if you look down also, verse number 5, we have this phrase, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And then I couldn't help but notice, I haven't pointed this out, but at the end of verse 10, that jumped out at me, and were destroyed of the destroyer. And so don't think that we don't have an enemy, folks. And don't think that he does not want to get us out of the race. And not everyone that began the journey as they came out of Egypt entered into the promised land. And here in 1 Corinthians, God stops and directs the Apostle Paul to write down four specific sins that took a lot of the children of Israel out. Now, we'll say this later. But remember, verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So what are these four sins? All right, look, if you will, in verse number 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. Verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, each one of these sins that are listed, we're given enough information to pinpoint a very specific Old Testament event. Verse 7, the idolatry, and that warning against being idolaters. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9, and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10, and were destroyed of the destroyer. And so we're able to go back and actually look at these events. And so we're going to focus on the last one, the sin of murmuring. Verse number 10, neither murmur ye. Preacher, are you telling me that the sin of murmuring can lead to me becoming a castaway? That's what the Bible's saying. Are you telling me that the little sin of murmuring may cause me to be overthrown in the wilderness? That's what the Bible says. Are you telling me that just murmuring could cause me to be destroyed of the destroyer? That's what the Bible says. But preacher, I'm a solid Christian and I'm sure I'm fine. The Bible says this, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And so this is not a minor sin. If it's listed with the sin of idolatry and fornication and the sin of tempting Christ, which we found out was the sin of unthankfulness, then certainly we ought to pay attention to this sin. Now, what about the story? What story is being referred to in verse number 10? Well, the story that's being referred to is the story of the children of Israel as they are brought the first time to the Jordan River, and they have an opportunity to to cross over into the promised land. We'll find that back in Numbers chapter 14. So if you'll join me back there, you might save your place in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But we'll spend a little bit of time now in Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. We're going to talk about, put the spotlight tonight on this sin of murmuring. Can I say this? At times, we're all guilty of that. Okay, I wouldn't say that maybe of every other sin we've covered, but I can almost promise you we're all guilty of this sometime. And we have to be very careful that this does not become a habitual sin in our life. And so we're going to, again, put the spotlight on it and blow the trumpet and let the Bible speak to us and hopefully redetermine to be a praising people instead of a murmuring people. In Numbers chapter 14, we read in verse number 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Now notice, as this murmuring goes, the more crazy the things that are being said. Now look at verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Now folks, you're going to find out right now, verse 5 on down, that as they're doing this, God hears it. Let's just be reminded of this. God hears what comes out of our mouth. Okay, God hears it. You know, I'm excited about the new theme, and we've got the banners just about all designed in the cards. When I say we, I'm doing none of it except come up with the idea. But we've got the new visitation cards. If there's an emphasis, and you'll see this, connected with next year's theme, and that's this, that we ought to be aware that everything we do in the sight of the Lord, in His sight. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Can I say this, though? Not only is His eyes there, His ears are there also. And I think that there's a warning in the Bible that we're going to answer for every idle word. Now think about that. Every idle word. I think we ought to be a little more careful about what comes out of our mouth, especially when it comes to this matter of murmuring against the Lord. And so here we see the sin committed in verse number 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly and of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, for the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, notice this, how long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation, mightier than they. We're going to read on down, but in verse 13, we see that that Moses becomes that advocator. He begins to take the position of someone who's going to supplicate before the Lord and pray before the Lord and ask for mercy for the people. And God, in response to that, does show a measure of mercy, but also He makes a declaration. All right, I'm not going to kill them all, and I'm not going to disinherit them all, but none of these from 20 years in age and up that said what they just said is going to get a chance to enter into the promised land. Now, folks, we all know the Bible. Most of us do enough to know that they went back into that wilderness for 40 years, and they didn't come back to the Jordan River till every single adult that had stood there at that Jordan River and murmured and complained and disheartened the people were buried out there in the wilderness, and only Caleb and only Joshua and Moses was there, but of course he didn't get a chance to go over. But those were the only ones that were left. Now, folks, remember this. Let's take this to heart. Mercy sakes alive. Let's make sure that we're not guilty of this sin. Now, this sin is mentioned in verse number 2. You see it? All the children of Israel murmured against the Lord. Look at verse 27 of the same chapter. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Then again in verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Now, folks, murmuring is a very interesting word. What it means is it has the idea of coming to a halt or coming to a stop or stopping somewhere overnight. And by implication, it means that they are stopped somewhere permanently. They're refusing to move. They become obstinate, especially in words, especially in what they're saying, that they insist on abiding, refusing to continue, insisting on dwelling, to endure, to carry a grudge, to be left, to lie all night, to lodge, to murmur, to remain, to tarry. In other words, God's saying, go, go, go forward. And not only are they not going to go forward, they're obstinate about the fact that they're not going to go forward. They begin to murmur against God and murmur against his plan and murmur against his will in their life. Now, let me just apply this, and this will help all of us, okay? Folks, we're all supposed to continue growing in grace. I think it's a dangerous thing to decide that you've reached a point where it's okay to stop. It's never okay to stop, okay? There's a higher ground for all of us. There's more that we can achieve. There's more that we can do. There's more that we can learn. There's more that we can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so be very careful you don't get to the point where you say, you know what, I think I've gone far enough, and I think I've grown enough, and I think I'm doing enough, and I think I'm enough like Jesus. Let's look in the year 2020 that's coming up and say, you know what, here's an opportunity for all of us to go forward, to go forward. And so here Moses is urging them to go forward, and they begin to murmur. And Joshua stands up, and Caleb stands up, and they begin to tell them all of the benefits and how God's going to take care of them, and don't lose faith, and this is why God brought us out of Egypt. Let's go. And instead of listening to that encouragement and heeding and following the leadership that was provided, they instead began to murmur. Now let's notice some things about this sin of murmuring. Number one, murmuring started in the secondary level of leadership. Look, if you will, in verse number 26, verse 26 through 33. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. For your carcass shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones which ye should say should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcass, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until the carcass be wasted in the wilderness. I want to remind you who he's talking to and who was sent. If you go back, it's very interesting. If you'll go back in chapter number 13, I think this is amazing what the Lord's done here. The Lord said in chapter number 13, when he's choosing these 12 men to go in, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a what? Ruler among them. And then notice verse 3, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were what? Heads of the children of Israel. Now, let me just say this, folks. These weren't just, you know, hey, we need a volunteer from each tribe, so, you know, let's find Joe Blow. Okay, let's find some average guy. Hey, let's find some teenager. Let's find some kid. Hey, which of you don't have a job? Okay, let's pick the bum off the street and send him. No, this was a leader ahead of each tribe. And you know what? They came back and they were already looked up to. And they were already had a position of responsibility. And you know what? When they begin to murmur, it had more impact upon their particular tribe than if it had just been some Joe Blow. So you have Moses, and he's provided the leadership. He's the one that God has put over them at this time. Moses is telling them to do the right thing. Okay, so that level of leadership is doing the right thing. Of the 12, two of the heads of the tribes were doing the right thing. But 10 of the heads of the tribes begin to discourage the people. And their, let me say it again, and their murmuring carried increased weight because of their position. Right. Now, let's all apply that to whatever is our situation in our life, okay? All right, you know, if you're at the job place and the boss comes out, I mean the owner of the business comes out and he said, guys, this is what we're going to accomplish today and this is the goal. Let me lay the plan out before you. And this is what we need to have done over the next couple weeks. And he talks to everybody and then he goes back in and the foremans begin murmuring against what the boss just laid out. I promise you that entire crew, most of the entire crew is going to end up with a bad attitude, and there's a good chance that whatever the boss wanted done will not get accomplished. Yes, how many of you men agree with that? You've been in the workaday world to agree with that? Yes, all right, listen, we can take this and apply it to every area of life. A lot of times we have there's instances we go in the Bible where the guy who was ultimately in charge was the problem, okay? There's those instances too. But in this instance, it wasn't that. And I think sometimes what we got to be really careful of, if you find yourself in a secondary layer of leadership, you need to understand something. To whom much has been given, much shall be required. And when you are negative, it has more impact than if somebody else is negative. Let's apply it to our home situation. Come on. All right, moms, you're second in command. By the way, moms, wives, you're not first in command. If you are, you're out of place. And if your husband comes home and he lays out, this is what I want for our family, this is what I want us to accomplish, this is what I want us to do, this is the thing that I've gone before the Lord and I feel like is good for us, and you know what, these are the, and you know what, he's going to lay it out. But I'm going to tell you something, he gets in the truck and then takes off to work, and mom rolls her eyes and looks at the kids and laughs it off and says, well, you know, he's not here and it's easy to want to do everything, but you know, he takes off and leaves us to try to blah, 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 blah. Come on. Right. You're just like one of those 10. You're undermining the authority. Sure, you know what your kid, by the way, your kids are going to know this and they're going to notice that, and they're not going to begin to take seriously the position of the father if the mother, the wife, is undermining that authority. Okay, and so that's exactly what happened in this situation. You know what? If anybody at Blessed Hope Baptist Church murmurs, it's a bad thing. Really, if anybody just sits around and no matter what is planned, I mean, we're getting ready to launch into a new year and pastor's going to have the first Sunday night of January and we're going to have vision night and we're going to cast a vision for the next year. And if anybody gets in the car and starts whining and complaining or walking around the congregation mumbling and murmuring and rolling their eyes, it's a sin. I don't care who you are. Right. But it would be more of a sin for Chad Gordon to do it. Yes, sir. It'd be more of a sin for his wife to do it. Right. It'd be more of a sin for Miss Spiber to do it. You know what? I'm sorry, I don't pay y'all. I pay them. Are you listening to me? Yep. It'd be more of a sin for Brother Young to do it. But listen, Sunday school teachers, it's wrong for anybody to have a bad attitude, but for a Sunday school teacher to have a bad attitude, let me tell you something, that influences more than just you. Are you listening to me? Deacons, wives, it's wrong for anybody to have a bad attitude, but for a deacon or a deacon's wife to walk around with a negative attitude and undermining the authority and mumbling and complaining and rolling their eyes and here goes the preacher again, you know. God pity your soul. I mean it. God pity your soul. Now, what I'm saying is this. Dads, you're the primary. But you know what? You're not the primary when it comes to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You're the primary in your family. Now you're a secondary level of leadership. If every father would decide that they're going to back their pastor and back the program and be excited about it and talk it up. You know what? You'd be surprised how the entire attitude of your family would change. But listen, wives, if they're doing that, then you're waiting until they're gone and you're undercutting that, then you're hurting the children. Look right up here. How many of you are the oldest kid in your family? Would you raise your hand? You're the oldest kid in your family. Let me tell you something right now. You know what? Your attitude towards what mom and dad says is going to influence the rest of them. By the way, parents, this idea of putting up with this murmuring, complaining, bad attitude stuff, and as if, well, you know, surrender to it because, right. You know, that's the way Amen. Kids are, and that's just that kid's personality, right. And that's that kid's attitude. Oh, that can get adjusted. Right. Oh, yeah, that can get adjusted. Amen. Amen. There's a place God created on their body that's called the adjustment place. Amen. Some of you need to figure out where that's at. All right. And boy, their entire view of the world can be adjusted if you'll do it. But we act as if these are just common things. Common things. You know, even if you watch this, folks, I mean, it's what is being that the television set and the commercials that are being put on TV, more and more, they are portraying, by the way, what the normal family is being portrayed on the TV during commercials. They can't run a commercial that shows a certain, you know, five or six different families without a sodomite couple being part of one of them. And then, by the way, listen to the way the kids are talking to their parents. You know what they're doing? They're training an entire generation to say, this is normal. That's just how kids are. They don't listen. They scream. They fight. They bicker. They throw things. They refuse to obey. Hey, that's just the way it is. That's normal behavior. Hey, accept it. That's normal. No, it's not. No, it's not. Not in the eyes of the Lord. And so I want to just mention that. Now, I mean, you ought to look at your own, every one of your situations here and say, where do I fit? Because a lot of us in certain arenas of our life, we may be in that leadership position. But in another area of our life, we may be in a secondary leadership position. And it's just as right for us to do right when we are the one in charge as if we are the one that's following. Be very careful. Be very careful because the murmuring started in the secondary level of leadership. Number two. Murmuring then spread to the people. The majority of the people are more prone to listen to the negative than the positive. That's just human nature. Majority of the human race are more prone to listen to and join in on negativity than they are something positive. Here you have two men that stand up before the Lord and put a positive spin on this thing and say, we can do it. God brought us here. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. He's already put the fear in their heart of us. We can do this. Amen. But you know what? Two positive people don't have much of a chance between 10 negative people. Okay? And so what we need to do is just understand, folks, we all have a responsibility to be a positive voice. Listen, be careful. I say this from time to time, but be careful in your life. Just, you know, be honest with yourself. I mean, one of the things that we do to grow in the Lord is sometimes we have to go to that mirror and sometimes we have to look and we have to properly evaluate. And listen, you're never going to overcome and you're never going to grow by making excuses for yourself. Properly evaluate yourself. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Why aren't we willing to pray that? God, show it to me. Pinpoint it. Okay? And then, Lord, help me fix it. Sometimes people are raised in a family where there was just a lot of negativity. I'm not going to let you because I don't let people spend the rest of their life blaming somebody else for something you're doing. So if you were raised in that situation, let me just say this. You're going to be prone, you're going to be prone to want to be negative because you were raised in a negative home. So it's going to be really, now let me just ask you, okay, are you living in that home anymore? Are you an adult? Are you a grown-up man or a grown-up woman? Okay, now you got to make a decision. Are you going to pass that same thing over to your children? Are you going to ask God to give you victory? Okay. And by the way, I'm not saying sit there and throw stones at your mom and dad and blame them for your problems. Whatever your home was, it was. But if there was a constant negativity in that home, you just need to understand something. I'm going to be prone to negativity. I'm going to have to work harder. I think that's where you take the Word of God and you pinpoint verses to memorize on purpose that helps you have the right kind of an attitude. I call Psalms 100 the attitude adjusting psalm, okay? I think some of us need to just get up every morning, you know, once we're awake enough to look in the mirror and just quote Psalms 1, let make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with murmuring. It's not what it says. It's not what it says. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with... I haven't found the word murmur yet in that psalm, you know. And what does that do? If we start out, you said, preacher, does this kind of thing work? Yeah, the Word of God will change you if you'll let it. Of course it works. Of course the Bible works. And so you know what you do? You have to, this is what we do. Okay, the Holy Spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I've identified something in my life that's displeasing to the Lord. Maybe it's a character trait. Maybe it's a habit of life. Maybe it's a way I talk or the way I speak. Now, I want to change that because I want to be conformed into the image of Christ. I want people to see Jesus in me. I don't want to pass these generational things on down to my children and my grandchildren. So I'm going to go to the Word of God, and I'm going to let the Word of God help me. And whatever your problem is, then you know what? There's verses that can help you overcome that. And this matter of murmuring. And if you just say, preacher, I'm sitting here kind of convicted. I'm not here, you know, preaching and Bible studies, not here just to make you feel bad and send you home a failure. It's to make you feel bad. It's called conviction. It's okay. It makes you feel bad a little bit. But to be motivated to want to change it and to do something about it. So take the Word of God. The Bible works. The Bible works. Preacher, I am just stingy. I'm a stingy, selfish person. Well, there's verses in the Bible about that. And there's verses that you can memorize. And when you have a tendency to want to be that way, you can rattle off two or three of those verses and let the Word of God change your attitude, change your heart, and say, I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to let the devil win. I'm not going to let him win in my life. And the Bible can help you, okay? So murmuring started with secondary leadership, but it began to spread. Now, this is why you got to be careful. Because you say, well, I just don't know if I like that, and I'm not happy about it, and so I'm going to let people know about it. But the problem is you're taking a sin in your life, and you're letting it spill on other people. And the people that you murmur to, if you're not careful, will start murmuring. And next thing you know what? You're trotting back into the wilderness. You could have been over in the promised land. Okay? You're trotting back in the wilderness for 40 years. God's looking down and said, can't use them. That's not the generation. Can't trust them. Send them back into the wilderness. You think of the 40 years of wilderness journey and all that they had to face. You know, that was not in God's original plan. God did not want that. And I think how many times, if we look back at our life, did we lose an entire segment of our life just because God brought us right to the Jordan and gave us an opportunity to go forward, but this matter of camping out, refusing, becoming obstinate, arguing with God, not wanting to do his will, wanting to do what I want to do, not trusting God, not having faith, not crossing over. And so we go into the wilderness and we lose some things. So the majority of the people are more prone to listen to the negative than the positive. They prove that here. Majority of the people are more prone to want to go backwards than forward. Majority of the people are more prone to believe man than to believe God. Isn't that sad? But that's still true today. So murmuring started in the secondary level of leadership, spread to the people. Murmuring was condemned by spiritual leadership. Now, I've already pointed this out, but thank God for Joshua, and thank God for Caleb, and thank God for what Moses tried to do to speak up and change their minds. But don't think that if you stand up and say the right thing, you're going to necessarily be beloved. Okay? And you know what? Next thing you know, they're talking about, you know, getting stones and verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. I mean, they stood up in verse number 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 and said all the right things. And when they got done, I think they were thinking, all we got to do is stand up there, get everybody's attention, and tell them how good God is and that God's going to do this. And they said, listen, we were there. Don't listen to these 10 knuckleheads. We were there too. It's ours for the taking. And I think when they got done with that passionate plea, they looked out and said, they looked over the song leader and the
piano player, and they said, "All right, heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's play a few verses." Because after that impassioned delivery, the altars are going to be full. I think I kind of know how they felt that day. You know? Surely after that message, 45 minutes of nonstop Bible on this subject, how could they stay on their pew? Oh, they can. Oh, trust me, they can. Not a problem. So, you know, not only did they not budge, but then they start murmuring about those that were telling them not to murmur. And next thing you know, they're like, "Hey, man, one thing we do have out here in the wilderness, we got a lot of rocks. Buddy, we have rocks. Everybody get you a rock." And he's talking about voting amongst the murmurers. Who's the most mighty murmurer we have? Who's the captain of the murmur? Let's put you in charge. And let's forget God's will. And let's forget God's plan. And let's forget what this is going to do to our children and our grandchildren. And let's get us a captain that will take us back. If you think about what they're saying, this is insanity. Take us back to Egypt. Yeah, if they'd have had their way, if God would have let them have their way, can you imagine the Egyptians? They haven't been gone that long. And here God took them out with a mighty hand, and he split the Red Sea. That's still fresh. The Egyptians, maybe they're still fine carcasses and bones along the shores of the Red Sea. And they're sitting there saying, "I'll tell you what, we messed with the wrong God." And all of a sudden they look, and here, coming around the Red Sea, with their tails tucked between their legs, showing back up. "I don't suppose you could forget the whole..." "Could we be slaves again? Would you..." What a sorry, come on, what a sorry testimony. What would that have said? Here God takes it out with a mighty hand, and they're standing there saying, you know what, because of their murmuring. It started out with just a little complaint, but the, folks, when you start murmuring, it always builds. And you know, we identified it, we looked at it. They murmured against Moses, against Aaron. And then here's the thing. Would God we had died in the land of Egypt? Well, you could have. You know, all you had to do, instead of crossing the Red Sea, all you do is head back to Pharaoh. He'd have killed you. "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey?" Now watch this. These men, sorry, but they're cowards. I'm every word that comes out of their mouth, I'm losing more respect for them. Now you're going to hide behind the fact, "Well, I'm just trying to protect my wife. I'm just trying to protect my kids." You know, because if we go over there and this doesn't go well, what's going to happen to our wife? Hey, what is going to happen to your wife? What are they going to do to your wife? What are they going to do to your daughters? The next thing you know, fear and panic and negativity begins to spread to a panic. The next thing you know, they're talking about taking up stones and killing Moses. And so, folks, this thing of murmuring can listen, I've watched it. There's people in this room that have come from churches where you've seen this kind of thing, where it started with a little group. And next thing you know, an entire congregation is heading back towards Egypt, rising up in rebellion against spiritual leadership, just because murmuring can begin to spread like wildfire. So murmuring was condemned by the spiritual leadership. Murmuring stole the courage of the people. Murmuring was directed at three targets. I read it several times, but they start out murmuring against God, then they murmur against God's appointed authority, and then they murmur against God's plan. You know, God directs their lives and they're murmuring against them. God gives authority to set the example and set the pace, and they start murmuring against them, against the leadership. And then God lays out a plan of success, and they begin to murmur about that. And then we've seen in verse 11, 12, this murmuring angers the Lord. Murmuring costs many their opportunity to see the promised land. A preacher, why is this here? Why is these four stories here? Let's go back and we'll wrap it up. We'll go back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's remind ourselves of a couple things, folks. All of these stories that we went through, the story about the idolatry, the golden calf, the story about intermarrying with the Moabites. In verse 8, the story about tempting Christ and an unthankful spirit and the Lord unleashing those vipers in their midst. The story of their unwillingness to cry. Now, why all this? Verse 11. Now, all these things happened unto them for in samples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Folks, why were the sins of the Israel people recorded, written down for us? It was written down for our admonition. That word admonition means warning, to warn every Christian who thinks that they could not fall into these same sins. Be warned, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. To warn every Christian that God severely, listen, and sometimes permanently judges these sins. These are recorded to put the fear of God back into our hearts. America needs a fresh dose of the fear of God back in our hearts. So why were these sins of the people recorded? For admonition. Number two, so we would understand that we're not the first to face testings. Look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And so what he's saying is, listen, these same things that these folks faced, you're going to face them, but you're not the first one to face them. And you can go back and find people who faced them and failed miserably. But you can also go back and find people that faced these things and they overcame. They didn't lose their faith. They didn't lose their heart. They went forward for the Lord. So we understand that we're not the first to face these testings. So we understand the faithfulness of God. I love verse 13. But God is faithful. So that we understand that God will provide an escape during these times of testing. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. And you know what? Even though we had 10 men that were doing the wrong thing, isn't it interesting? God still had 2 men stand up and tell them what the right thing was to do. And Moses still rent his clothes before the people and begged them to obey God. They had a way to escape. There were people that were encouraging them to do right. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. Everybody in my life. No, it's not everybody. It's a group that you're letting have way too much influence in your life, okay? You know what? Sometimes the negative people outnumber the positive people. I guess you're going to have to figure out who you're going to listen to. But I want to be with the group that's standing up there saying, God can do it. And this is God's will, and this is God's plan, and this is God's purpose. And yeah, there's enemies, and yeah, there's giants, but so what? There always has been. There was a boy named David. He went down in a valley and faced a giant. He did okay. We serve the same God. Let's go get him. Let's go get him. Let's believe God. Instead of using our wives and our children as an excuse to turn back from the will of God, let's use our wives and our children as a reason to pursue the will of God. You know, so we're going to face these things, and people have faced it before. So we learn to understand. We understand the faithfulness of God. Why is these things recorded? So we will learn to flee temptation. Verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And in any of these sins, folks, when you see a group of people get involved with it, do not come on. Don't just be a zombie and follow in behind. If you see people involved in these four sins, the sins of idolatry, all of a sudden you see people, and maybe sometimes in your own church, begin to elevate things as bigger in their life than God, and they begin to engage in the sin of idolatry, that doesn't mean you're supposed to. Flee it. Flee it. You know what? If you see people, well, you know what? And this person used to teach a Sunday school class, or this person used to be on a bus route here years ago, but now they're living in fornication. So what are you going to do? Go live in fornication? Amen. Flee it. Yes, sir. Flee it. Yep. Take it as a warning. Amen. Realize it can happen to you. Run. Right. Okay. These persons begin to tempt Christ and they lose their unthankful spirit. And by the way, sin number 3 always leads to sin number 4. You lose your thankful spirit, you'll start murmuring and complaining. And you know what? When you hear that, don't join in with it. Hey, watch this. Be a Caleb. Stand up. I don't care if it's the vast majority. Stand up. Let's go to my original illustration. The boss came out, and he said, this is what we're supposed to do. And he goes back in, and even the secondary leadership, level leadership, starts murmuring and complaining. If I'm working on that job, you know what I'm going to say? Whoa, stop. Did y'all just hear what he said? Do any of you own the company? Do you know what can turn a lot of this nonsense? A Caleb that has courage. A Josh, well, they may pick up stones and try to stone me. I'd rather be stoned standing for the right thing than just give in, fold like a lawn chair, and follow the crowd into negativity, into rock. Listen, stand up. Oh, man. Preacher, all the guys after work, I mean the whole crew, all the guys after work, and that was my ride, and all the guys after work, they said, we're stopping in this tavern. Well, you don't have to. But they're my ride. You don't have to go in there. Well, how am I going to get home? Watch this. Come on, I'd rather be on a road on a cold night with my thumb in the finger. My thumb in the air. My thumb in the air. I could have said something a lot worse. Sometimes I just think the Lord protects me when I say stupid things. Because one of these days, yeah. My thumb in the air. I'd rather be out there in 5 degree. Come on, are you a man? You're not going to die. I'd rather button my coat, zip it up, pull my hat down, and be out there with my thumb in the air than sitting in some tavern with the devil's crowd. Come on, teenagers, grow a spine, guys. Well, everybody in the youth group, they start saying this, and they say, you know, I just got caught up in it. Well, stop getting caught up in it. Be a man. Where's that voice that says, okay, guys, enough's enough. All right, this isn't going in a good direction. Well, they may not be my friend. Well, you know what? There's things more important than being their friend. Be their example. Do right. You know, turn the tide. Speak up. Speak up. Speak up. Amen. So you know what? In this situation, I think we can learn a lot from Caleb and we can learn a lot from Joshua. Say, preacher, but the people didn't listen to him. And yeah, I know. And God, yeah, I know. But you know what? 40 years later, those two old boys went across that Jordan River. Yes, sir. You know what Caleb went? He went over to Joshua and said, hey, you know what? I want that mountain. And you know what? God rewarded him in ways and rewarded his descendants. Read about the family of Caleb. Rewarded his descendants in a way. You know why? Because when everybody was saying, let's do wrong, one guy stood up. And folks, listen to me. I don't care if they threaten to stone you. I don't care if they won't be your friend. I don't care. You know what? This life goes on. And somewhere down the road, God's going to say, I saw that. I remembered that. I took note of that. You were willing to stand. You were willing to be talked about. You were willing to be lied about. You were willing to take the stoning. But you stood for right. God's like, hey, I write the end of every story. They don't write the end of the story. I write the end of every story. And so, man alive, I think we need just to go back to this idea of, hey, you know what? If it's just me and God, we're a majority. I'd rather stand alone because when I stand alone, I don't stand alone for right. I'd rather stand with God by myself and be able to put my head on my pillow and my thumb in the air. I just had to get that in there again. I'm going to go home and practice that. I'd rather put my head in my pillow. Yep, my head on my pillow. And my thumb in my pillow. I've just lost it, man. And know that I did the right thing. Then I would sit there and follow like a moron. Bunch of people going the wrong direction just so I can have some quote unquote friends. So this is good for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these stories and thank you for what you teach us from it. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to sneak back 4 times in the Old Testament and take a look at something the children of Israel really messed up on. Not so we can stand there and shake our head and point fingers, but so that we can be warned. Because it's so easy to see what they should have done, but sometimes in our own life, Lord, same exact opportunity is presented to us, and we don't do any better. But Lord, they didn't have a Bible full of stories to teach them what happened before them. Lord, we're kind of without excuse. So thank you that these things were written as an example so that we could know and be warned of four sins that had the potential to make us castaways. Four sins the destroyer has used to destroy many a Christian. Four sins that if we're not careful, we may think we're standing and next thing you know, we've fallen. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, especially in this matter of murmuring. Help us to be positive. Help us to be that voice of faith. Help us to be that voice that stands up for Jesus. Lord, help us to please you above anything. We pray in Jesus' name.